Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to WTLC and America's favorite holiday program, the Jingle Bell Radio Hour, brought to you by Soul Seek.
Grab your mat, put on a smile, head to Soul Seek and stay a while. Stretch and breathe and find your flow at Soul Seek Yoga Studio.
We have a simply wonderful show for you this evening, none other than Frank Capra's instantly immortal classic, It's a Wonderful Life.
George Bailey saved my life. Bless him, Lord.
Dio mio, please help my best friend, George Bailey.
Look after my dear son, George, oh Lord.
George always put everybody else first. He saved his whole town, if you ask me.
Please keep George Bailey safe. He helps everyone he meets, even when they don't deserve it.
George never asked for much. Please help him, God.
Dear Lord, watch over my husband, George, tonight.
Please, God, something's the matter with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back.
Poor George. Clarence?
Oh, you sent for me, Joseph? Sorry, I'm out of breath. I ran here as fast as I could.
Clarence, hello. I see you didn't even have time to put your book down. What is that you're reading?
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. 70 years later, and it's still my favorite. I carry it with me everywhere in case I find myself with a few spare moments.
I see. So, Clarence, I've called you here because a man on Earth needs our help, and I think you may finally be ready to help him.
What's the matter? Is he sick?
Worse. Discouraged. At 9:13 this evening, George Bailey will find himself on a snowy bridge over an icy canal, seriously thinking about throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. Oh, it's already evening. I've only an hour to dress. Oh, what are they wearing nowadays?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish my mission, might I perhaps win my wings? It's been over 200 years and people are beginning to talk.
Clarence, if you save George Bailey, you will earn your wings.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
So sit down, Clarence. Do you see the town?
I don't see a thing.
Oh, I forgot. So when you have your wings, you'll be able to see all by yourself. Now concentrate. Are you seeing anything now?
A snowy hill and a frozen canal? But why are we- Who's that?
That's George Bailey.
A young boy? But surely-
That's him when he was 11 in 1918. Something important that changes his life forever happens right now.
Next down the slide, here comes my kid baby, the scared baby, Harry Bailey. I'm not scared. Here I go. Help, help, help me, George.
I'm coming, Harry. Oh, make a chain, fellas, hurry.
George saved his brother's life that day, but he got a bad cold in his left ear. Cost him his hearing in that ear. It was weeks before he could return to his after-school job at Mr. Gower's drugstore.
Hiya, Mr. Gower.
First day back and you're late.
Sorry, sir.
Get to work.
Yes, sir. Oh, hi there, Violet. Hello, Mary.
Hiya, Georgie.
Hello, George.
Your usual Violet?
Yes, please. I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you go.
Thanks, Georgie. See you, Mary.
How about you, Mary? Have you made up your mind?
I'll have a chocolate ice cream.
With coconuts?
Ooh, I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Well, say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Looky here, from Tahiti, the Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea. Look at this.
A new magazine. I've never seen this one.
Well, of course you never. Only us explorers can get it. I've been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society. One chocolate ice cream with no coconuts coming up.
Is this the ear you can't hear in?
George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
I'm going out exploring someday, you watch. And I'm gonna have a couple of harems and maybe three or four wives. Wait and see.
George!
Yes, sir?
I don't pay you to be a canary.
No, sir. Here you go, Mary.
Goodbye, George.
Goodbye, Marion. Sorry I called you brainless. Hey, what's this?
Ooh, a telegram. What's it say?
Oh, it's a telegram from the school where Gower's son studied. He caught influenza and suddenly died this morning. Gower has spent the rest of the morning drowning his sorrows in the bottle.
Mr. Gower, do you want something? Anything?
No.
Anything I can do for you? Anything at all?
Yes. Take these pills and bring
them. I'll get them, sir.
Take those pills over to Mrs. Andrews. She's waiting for them. Her son has diphtheria.
Okay, Mr. Gower, but Mr. Gower, I think you...
Get going!
Yes, sir.
Did you notice anything about those pills?
Why, no. But I do hope they made the poor boy better.
Mr. Gower, in his drunken stupor, put a poison from the wrong bottle in those pills. George saw this as he was picking them up. He didn't want to embarrass Mr. Gower, but that boy was in danger. He decided to speak with the smartest man he knew, his father, Peter Bailey, who with his brother, Billy, had started the Bedford Falls Building and Loan.
Ahoy, Captain! Whoa, not so fast. Where are you sailing off to?
I've got to see Pop!
Hello?
Not right now, George. There's a storm brewing and it's shaping up to be a squall.
One moment, please.
Oh, but it's really important.
Billy, telephone.
Well, who is it?
Bank examiner.
Oh, no, I should have called him yesterday. Give me the phone. Hello?
Now, I'm not crying, Mr. Potter.
Well, you're begging, and that's a whole lot worse.
Who's that?
That's Henry F. Potter, the richest and meanest man in the county.
All I'm asking is 30 days more. Just 30 days.
Pop!
Times are hard, Mr. Potter. A lot of these people can't find work.
Well, then foreclose.
I can't foreclose on them. These families have children.
They're not my children.
Pop!
Are you running a business or a charity ward?
Mr. Potter.
Not with my money.
Mr. Potter, what makes you such a hard-skulled character? You have no family, no children. You can't even begin to spend all the money you have.
Oh, so I suppose I should give it to miserable failures like you and that idiot brother of yours to spend for me.
My father is not a failure. You can't say that about
him. George.
Well, you're not. You're the biggest man in town. Bigger than him, bigger than anybody.
George, enough.
Don't let him say that about you, Pop.
All right, son. I'll talk to you tonight.
But Pop!
Later, son.
So George left with no idea what to do. But the one thing he knew was he couldn't give those pills to that sick boy. He returned to the drugstore.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Andrews. I sent George over there an hour ago. He'll be there right away.
Mr. Gower.
What's the matter with you? Why didn't you deliver those pills? Don't you know that boy is really sick?
Yes, sir, I do, but you're hurting my sore ear.
Get out of here.
Oh, Mr. Gower, now you don't know what you're doing. Now you put something bad in those capsules. You got that telegram and you're upset. Now look at the bottle you took the powder from. It's poison, I tell you, it's poison. Now I know you feel bad.
George.
Oh, don't hurt my sore ear again.
Oh, George.
Mr. Gower, I won't ever tell a soul. Hope to die, I won't.
Oh, George. Thank you.
And did George ever tell anyone about the pills?
Not a soul. And he worked at the drugstore for several more years. Times were hard for the Baileys. George couldn't afford to go to college right after high school. And after he graduated, he went to work for his father at the building and loan, saving every penny so he could do what he always dreamed of, to travel the world. The day arrived at last. George finished his last day of work and was itching to get out of Bedford Falls.
Hiya, fellas.
Hey, George. Glad we ran into you before you left. Guys down at the station got you a little something.
A compass.
So you always know where you're going.
Ah, thanks, Bert. That's really something, and you put my name on it. Hey, Ernie, how about give me a ride home in style? Last day in town.
Oh, we even sure. Ernie's taxi is at your service. So, what boat are you sailing out on?
I'm working my way across on a cattle boat.
A cattle boat?
Well, so I like cows.
Hiya, Georgie.
Oh, hello, Violet. Well, say, that's a nice dress you have on.
You mean this old thing? Why, I only wear it when I don't care how I look. See you at the dance tonight?
Oh, well, I don't know.
You're not gonna skip town without giving me one more dance, are ya?
No, Violet, I can't make any promises.
Don't let me down, Georgie. See you later, fellas.
Wanna come along, Bert? show you the town?
No thanks. I think I'll go home and see what the wife's doing.
Family man.
Boy, oh boy, last meal at the Old Bailey boarding house.
Well, son, I hope you have a great trip. We're all gonna miss you.
I'll miss you all too, Pop. Hey, what's the matter? You look tired.
I had another tussle with Potter today. I thought when we put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up on us a bit.
Yeah, I wonder what's eating that old money-grubbing buzzard.
Oh, he's a sick man. Sick in his mind, sick in his soul, if he has one. He hates everybody that has something he can't have. Hates us mostly, I guess.
I'm off to the dance. So long.
Harry, you behave yourself.
You coming later, George?
Yo, what, be bored to death?
Couldn't want a better death. Lots of pretty girls. I guess I'll see you there.
Pop, did I act like that when I graduated high school?
Pretty much. Oh, George, I wish we could send Harry to college with you.
Now don't worry, Pop. We have that all figured out. Harry's already started working at the building and loan. He'll save for 4 years and then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job.
Well, no younger than I was.
Well, you were born older, George. I suppose you have the whole rest of your life planned.
Well, you know what I've always said. Designing modern buildings, big cities, seeing the world.
The first million by the time you're 30.
I'll settle for half of that in cash.
Of course, it's just a hope, but you wouldn't consider coming back to the building and loan.
Oh, Pop, I just couldn't. I couldn't face being cooped up day after day in a shabby little office. Oh, I'm sorry, Papa. I didn't mean it, but it's this business of nickels and dimes. I go crazy. I want to do something big and important.
You know, George, I feel that in some way we are doing something important. Satisfying a fundamental urge for a roof over a person's head with four walls and a fireplace. We're here day after day helping men get those things in our shabby little office.
I know, Dad. I wish I felt, but... Well, but I've been hoarding pennies like a miser in order to... Well, most of my friends have already finished college. I just feel if I didn't get away, I'd bust.
Yes, yes, you're right, son. This town is no place for any man, and unless he's willing to crawl to Potter. You've got talent. You get yourself an education, then you get out of here.
Pop, do you want a shock? I think you're a great guy. You know what? I think I'll get dressed and go over to Harry's party.
Have a good time, son.
Vanderpump Falls gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Vanderpump Falls gals, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon?
Cold Mossback George, hee-haw.
Sam Wainwright, how are you? When did you get into town?
Oh, this afternoon. Thought I'd give the kids a treat.
College graduate now, eh?
Old College Wainwright, they call me. Well, freshman, it looks like you're gonna make it after all.
Sure am.
I'll see you around, George.
Georgie!
Oh, hello, Violet.
Gonna give me a dance?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not much of a dancer.
Then what are you doing here?
I thought I'd give the kids a treat.
Georgie Porgy, you're not having any fun, are you?
You know, Vi, I got a big day tomorrow. A lot on my mind.
Well, tonight's your big chance. What would you rather be doing?
Well, you game, Vi? Let's make a night of it.
Ooh, Georgie, I'd love it. What do we do?
Well, let's go out in the field behind City Hall and run through the grass.
All right.
And then we can hike up to the falls. Oh, it's beautiful up there in the moonlight.
Hiking in these shoes?
And there's a green pool up there and we can swim in it.
I can't get this dress wet, it's silk.
And then we can climb Mount Bedford and smell the pines and watch the sunrise against the peaks.
George, you're a swell guy, but I'm not hiking up the mountain in the middle of the night. Boy, oh boy, there's something special about you.
I'm not sure how to take that.
As a compliment, for sure. I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
Well, thank you, Violet.
Hee-haw! Hey, George, a bunch of us are going to go driving down to the canal for a few more laughs. You want to join?
Oh, no. I'm feeling a little tired. My train leaves first thing tomorrow.
Well, would you mind taking my best girl, Mary, home? She's not feeling up to it, and you know her mother.
Oh, of course. That is if it's okay with you, Mary.
I'd like that, George.
Ooh, got room for one more.
For you? Of course. Come on, Violet, and good night, old Mossback, and good luck. Hee-haw!
Bed Falls gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Bed Falls gals, won't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon. Hot dog, just like an organ.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful night.
Yes, it is. So you're off to college soon too, aren't you, Mary?
Yes, Hunter College.
To be closer to Sam?
Oh, no. I picked New York because I wanted to see the city. Plays, museums, shops, so much to do. You know, like you've always talked about, George. Sam is just an old friend of the family, you know that. There would never be anything serious between us, even if my mother might want there to be.
Oh, well, now that I know that, If it wasn't me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl there tonight.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know. Last night in town and all. Oh, hey, look where we are, the old Granville house. Ooh, I'm gonna throw a rock and try to break a window. You have to be a pretty good shot nowadays, too. Not too many windows left.
Oh, George, don't. It's full of romance, that old place. I'd like to live in it.
In that place?
Sure.
I wouldn't live in it if I was a ghost. All right, now watch this.
What'd you wish, George?
Oh, I didn't make just one wish. A whole hatful, Mary. I know what I'm gonna do tomorrow and the next day and the next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet, and I'm gonna see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum, and then I'll come back, go to college, see what they know, and then I'm gonna build things. I'm gonna build skyscrapers 100 stories high, bridges 100 miles long. Hey, Mary, what are you doing? Oh, hey, that was a great shot. What'd you wish for, Mary?
Bedford Falls gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Bedford Falls gals, won't you come out tonight?
And dance by the light of the moon. What did you wish for when you threw that rock?
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. Why not?
If I tell you, it won't come true.
Well, what is it you want, Mary? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down for you.
I'll take it, and then what?
Well, then, you could swallow it, and it all dissolve, and the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair, and am I talking too much?
Yes!
Who's that?
Old man Christie.
Excuse me?
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
How's that?
I said, why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Oh, you want me to kiss her, huh?
Oh, yous raced it on the wrong people.
Oh, now you hold on there, mister. You come back out here and I'll show you some kissing that will put hair back on your head.
George, George, you gotta come quick. Your father's had a stroke.
I'm sorry. I've gotta go, Mary.
Peter Bailey died that day. George canceled his trip so he could get his father's affairs in order. On the day before George was due to leave for college, the board of directors convened to decide the fate of the building and loan.
George, I think that's the last signature we need. On behalf of the entire board of directors, we want to thank you for giving up your trip. We all know how dedicated you have been these past few months.
Thank you, everyone.
We wish you the very best of luck at school and our deepest sorrows on the passing of your father. Now, gentlemen, to the main purpose of this meeting, to appoint a successor for Peter Bailey.
I'd like to get to my real purpose. Now, I claim this institution's not necessary for this town. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to dissolve the Bailey Building and Loan and turn its assets and liabilities over to the receiver.
No, took you no time at all picking over the bones, Potter, considering you're the man who probably drove him to his grave.
Oh, I don't mean any disrespect. God rest his soul. He was a man of high ideals, so-called, but now ideals without common sense, now that can ruin this town. Take this loan here. Now, Ernie Bishop, sitting around all days on his brains in his taxi, I happen to know for a fact that the bank turned down his loan. But here we are building him a house worth $5,000. Now, why is that?
Well, I handled that loan, Mr. Potter. Now, you have all of his paperwork, and I can personally vouch for his character.
Oh, a friend of yours. You shoot pool with someone, then you're qualified to borrow money. Now, what does that get us? A discontented, lazy workforce instead of a thrifty working class. Now, I say
now, hold on a minute, Mr. Potter. Now, you're right when you say my father was no businessman. I mean, why he started this penny ante building and loan, I'll never know, but neither you nor anybody can say anything against his character. Now, in the 25 years since he and Uncle Billy started this thing, he never once thought of himself. But he did help get people out of your slums, Mr. Potter. I mean, what is it you always say? People should wait and save their money before they even think of buying a decent home? Wait for what? Until their children leave them? And until they're so old and broken down that do you know how long it takes for a working man to save $5,000? Now, you remember this rabble you keep talking about. Now, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this town. Now, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Well, anyway, my father didn't think so. Now, people were human beings to them, but to you, a warped, frustrated, miserable man, they're just cattle. And, well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
I know just what you're talking about. Something you can't get your fingers on, and it's galling you. Now, look, I've said too much. You're the board here. You do whatever you want. But just one more thing. This town needs this one-horse institution. If only people can have a place to go to without having to crawl to Potter.
Sentimental hogwash. I want my motion
Oh, boy, you sure told him, George.
What happened? We heard George yelling.
We're being put out of business. Easy come, easy go. George, you better get out of here. You'll miss your train.
Well, what do you think they're saying in there?
Don't worry about it. They're closing us down. So what? I can get another job. I'm only 55.
56?
George, they voted Potter down. They want to keep going.
Woohoo! We're still in business!
They only have one condition.
What's that?
Well, that's the best part. They've appointed you as executive secretary in your father's place.
No, wait, Uncle Billy.
That's all right, he can stay on.
No, now let's get one thing straight. Uncle Billy, he's your man. I'm leaving right now, I have to. I'm going to school, this is my last chance.
But George, they'll vote with Potter otherwise.
He didn't go, did he?
No, he didn't. He gave his school money to Harry instead. Harry became a football star, made second team All-American.
And what about George?
George got 4 years older, waiting for his brother to come home and take over the building loan. When the day came, Harry brought along a few surprises.
There she blows! Uncle Billy, you know what the three most exciting sounds in the world are?
Oh, sure do. Breakfast is served, lunch is served.
No! Anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles. There's the professor now. Hee-haw, Harry!
Hee-haw. Well, if it isn't George National Geographic Bailey. Hey, Uncle Billy.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
Say, fellas, where's Mother?
She's at home cooking the fatted calf. Come on.
Oh, wait a minute. Uncle Billy? George, I'd like you to meet Ruth Dakin.
Ruth Dakin Bailey, if you don't mind.
Told you I had a surprise. Meet the wife.
Well, what do you know?
Well, congratulations. How would you listen to me? Congratulations! How do you do? Harry, why didn't you tell someone? And Ruth, what's a pretty girl like you marrying a knucklehead like him?
Well, it was purely mercenary. My father offered him a job.
Oh, he did, huh?
My father owns a glass factory in Buffalo and wants Harry to get started in the research business.
And it's a good job?
Oh, yes, very. Not much money yet, but a bright future. And he's a genius. My father fell in love with him right away.
And you did too, eh?
All right, enough questions. Let's get this lovely lady home to meet the mother-in-law, m'lady.
Oh, why, thank you.
George, about that job. Ruth spoke out of turn. I never said I'd take it. You've been taking care of things around here for 4 years now, and I'm not gonna let you down.
Well, let's get you home. You're gonna have to deal with Mother first.
So Harry's coming home party became a wedding party.
Oh, I love parties.
He brought home with him some spirits to celebrate. But dear Uncle Billy, he felt he had the most to celebrate.
Oh boy, I feel so good I could spit in Potter's eye. I think I will. What do you say, old building and loan buddy? Let's do it tonight. Oh boy, you know, I better be getting home first. Now, if you could just point me in the right direction.
Just down that way.
That way, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, okay then. I'm all right.
Well, hello, Mother.
So, how do you like her?
Who, Ruth? She's swell.
Looks like she can keep Harry on his toes.
Keep him out of Bedford Falls anyway.
Did you know that Mary Hatch is back from school? Came back 3 days ago.
No?
Oh, nice girl, Mary.
Hmm.
Oh, stop that grunting. You give me one good reason why you shouldn't call on her.
Well, sure, Sam Wainwright. He's crazy about her.
We both know she's not crazy about him.
Oh, but her mother is.
Well,
and how do you know, anyway?
Oh, well, I've got eyes, haven't I? She lights up like a firefly whenever you're around. And besides, Sam Wainwright's away in New York, and now you're both here in Bedford Falls.
And all's fair in love and war?
Well, I don't know about war.
Well then, Ma Bailey, if you just point me in the right direction.
She lives that way.
What are you doing out there, picketing?
Oh, hello, Mary. Oh, I just happened to be passing by.
So I see. Have you made up your mind?
About what?
About coming in. Your mother told me this morning at the market you were going to pay me a visit.
How did she know that?
Didn't you tell her?
Well, no, I just went for a walk and happened to be passing by.
Well, are you coming in or aren't you?
I'll come in for a minute.
Let me take your hat. Have a seat.
Thank you. When did you get back?
Tuesday.
Oh, I thought you'd stay in New York with Sam and the rest of them.
I stayed for all those summers and worked, but after school, well, I guess I was homesick.
Homesick for Bedford Falls?
Well, yes, for my family and, well, everything.
Yeah, but after New York, don't you feel like you're suffocating here? No adventure, no excitement?
I don't know, George. Living a full life surrounded by family and people who love you can be pretty exciting too, don't you think?
Yeah, exciting enough to give my father a stroke.
You know, George, I think your father was a hero. And I know most people in this town would agree with me.
Well, I don't know about that.
It was nice about your brother Harry, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you like her?
Well, of course I like her. She's a peach.
So it's just marriage in general that you're not enthusiastic about?
Well, no. Marriage is all right for Harry and Sam and Marty and you, but being shackled down to a job in a tiny little town, being stuck in your own life day after day, I'd go crazy.
Oh.
Mary!
Yes, Mother?
Who's down there with you?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What does he want?
I don't know. What do you want?
Not a thing. I just happen to be
passing. Well, you tell him to go on home right now, and don't you leave this house. Sam Wainwright promised to call you from New York tonight.
Now, you tell your mother not to bother. I didn't come here
to... Well, what did you come here for? Well,
I don't know. You tell me. You're supposed to have all the answers.
Oh, why don't you just go home?
Mary, the phone! It's Sam!
All right, I'm going. I don't know why I stopped over here in the first place or why my mother told you. Hey, where's my hat? Mary, what'd you do with my hat?
Hee-haw.
Oh, hee-haw, Sam. How are you?
No, just great.
There's an old friend of yours here, George Bailey.
Old Mossback George?
That's right, old Mossback George. Wait just a second, I'll put him on.
He doesn't want to speak to George.
Yes, he does. He asked for him.
Hey there, Mossback. What are you trying to do, steal my girl?
Hello, Sam. Now, what do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl. Here's Mary.
No, wait a minute. I want to talk to both of you. Tell Mary to get on the extension.
Mother's on the extension.
I am not!
We can both hear. We're listening, Sam.
I have a big deal coming up that's gonna make us all a fortune. Hey, George, you remember that night at Martini's Bar when you told me you read someplace about making plastics out of soybeans?
Huh? Oh, yeah, soybeans.
Well, I love the idea, and I'm gonna do it. I found some big investors. I'm gonna build a factory outside of Rochester. How do you like that?
Oh, Rochester. Why Rochester?
Why not? Can you think of any place better?
Well, why not right here? You remember the old knitting mill that closed down. Now, you tell your father he can buy that for a song and all the labor he wants, too.
Say, we can put the whole town back to work. That sounds great. I knew you'd come through. Now, listen, and Mary, you're in on this too. You have any money?
Money? Well, yeah, a little.
I want you to put every cent you've got into our stock, you hear? And George, I want you in on the ground floor. This is the biggest thing since radio.
Well, Sam, I don't know. The building and loan is...
The building and loan? You're still married to that broken down place? Hey, Mary.
Yes, Sam, I'm here.
Would you tell this guy I'm giving him the chance of a lifetime?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Now you listen to me. I don't want any plastics or ground floors or small towns, and I don't want to get married to anyone, you understand? Now I want to do what I want to do. But Harry can't stay, and Uncle Billy... Bedford Falls needs that pathetic building and loan. I may never get out of here.
Oh, George.
Mary. A wonderful gal like you deserves better. You deserve New York penthouses and fancy cars and Sam Wainwright.
I spent 4 years in New York trying to figure out exactly what it is I wanted. And I know that for certain is that what I want is to be right here, right now.
Oh, Mary.
George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
George and Mary were soon wed. The whole town celebrated, even Mary's mother. After one last night in town, they were picked up in Ernie's cab to leave for their honeymoon. George had saved every penny for months. Between that and the gifts they received for their wedding, they finally saved enough to see the world together. But as before, Bedford Falls needed George again.
To the train station, where world explorers at last.
Bert sent this champagne over. He said to float away on a happy land on the bubbles.
Good old Bert.
So, where are you two going?
You know what we're going to do? We're going to shoot the works. A whole week in New York, then a whole week in Bermuda. The finest hotels, the oldest champagne, the richest food, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife. Here's the kitty, Ernie.
I feel like a bootlegger's wife.
That does it. All right, then what?
After that, who cares?
Uh-oh. Don't look now, but something funny going on over at the bank. I've never seen one, but this has all the earmarks of a run.
Oh, just a minute. Oh.
Please, let's not stop, George.
No, Ernie, get me over to the building and loan. Hello, everybody. Mrs. Thompson, how are you? Tom, what's the matter here? What is this, Uncle Billy, a holiday? Now, please just excuse us for a minute while we figure out what's going on.
Oh, this is a pickle, George. This is a pickle.
All right, now, what happened?
How does anything like this happen? All I know is the bank just called in our loan.
When?
About an hour ago. I had to hand over all of our cash.
All of it?
Every last cent. And that's still only part of what we owe.
Oh, well, the whole town's gone crazy. Hello?
George.
Oh, hello, Mr. Potter.
Now, George, now there's a rumor around town you've closed your doors. Is that true?
Not at all, Mr. Potter.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that. Oh. That sounds like you have quite a crowd in there. Are you all right? Do you need me to send over the police?
Police? What for?
Well, mobs can get pretty ugly sometimes. Now, George, I'm going all out in this crisis. I've guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They'll close up for a week and then reopen. I may lose a fortune, but I'm willing to guarantee your people, too. Now, just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I'll pay them 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, you never miss a trick, do you, Potter? Well, you're gonna miss this one.
If you close your doors before 6 p.m., you will never reopen.
Oh, he just took over the bank. All right, I have some news for you folks. Now, I just talked to Mr. Potter, and he's guaranteed cash payments at the bank. They're going to reopen next week.
But George, I've got my money here. I'll take mine now.
No, Ed, you're thinking of this place all wrong. The money isn't here. Now, your money is in Joe's house right next to yours, and the Woodburns' house, and the Christies, and the Perrys, and 100 others. You're lending them the money to build, and then they'll pay you back as best you can. Now, what are you going to do, foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
Okay, Tom, here you are. You sign this, you get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
Hey, everyone, did you get your money? Henry Potter wanted to be sure you all knew. Anyone who wants to sell him their shares will give him 50 cents on the dollar cash. He said if you turn them into his office before 6 p.m., he'll give you 55.
55?
I'm heading back there now.
Now, wait a second. Now, listen, I beg all of you not to do this. Now, if Potter gets control of the building and loan, then there'll never be another decent house built in this town. He's got the bank, the bus line, the department stores, and now he's going after us. Why? It's very simple, because we're cutting into his business, that's why. And because he wants to keep you in the slums and paying the kind of rent he decides. Tom, now you lived in one of his houses. Have you forgotten what he charged you for that broken down shack? And Randall, how much extra did he give you to be his carrier pigeon? Well, do you remember last year when things weren't going so well and you couldn't make your payments? You didn't lose your house, did you? Did you think Potter would have let you keep it? I mean, can't you understand what's happening here, Potter? Is it lending? Potter's buying, and because we're panicking, and he's not. We have to stick together. We have to have faith in each other.
But my husband hasn't worked in over a year, and I need money. How will we live until the bank reopens?
I've got bills to pay. I need the cash.
We can't feed our kids on faith.
We've got $2,000 to lend you right now. How much do you need?
Mary?
I'll take $242.
Tom, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
It's okay, Tom. There you are.
And that will close my account.
No, your account's still here. That's a loan. All right, Ed?
I've got $300 here, George.
Oh, but Ed, what will it take just until the bank reopens?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose $20?
Oh, now you're talking. Fine. Thank you, Ed. Mrs. Thompson, how much do you want?
But it's your own money, George.
Nah, never mind about that. How much do you want?
I can get along with 20, all right.
Oh, 20, thank you.
And I'll sign the paper.
Now, you don't have to sign anything. I know you'll pay it back as soon as you can. All right, Mrs. Davis?
Could I have $17.50?
Oh, bless your heart. Of course you can. Uncle Billy, you got any quarters?
Oh, I think we're gonna make it, George. Potter won't close us down today.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bingo! Lock those doors!
Yippee!
Oh, we made it and we're still in business and we got $2 left. Uncle Billy, go grab the whiskey from your bottom drawer. This calls for a toast. A couple of financial wizards.
The Rockefellers of Bedford Falls.
A toast! Here's to Mama Dollar and Papa Dollar, and if you want this old building and loan to stay in business, you'd better have a family real quick.
Like rabbits.
Oh, this calls for cigars.
Oh, here, I have one from the wedding. Oh, the wedding! Oh, holy mackerel, I'm married. Where's Mary? Mary! Oh, it's 6 p.m. and the train's gone. I wonder if Ernie's still here with the cab.
Hello?
Yeah, well, he's gone. I guess I better...
George, you have a call.
It can wait. Get my wife on the phone.
Mrs. Bailey is on the phone.
No, I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Oh! Mrs. Bailey! That's my wife! Oh, Mary. Darling, I'm sorry, and I promise I'll... Wait, I'm sorry. What? Come home? Well, where are you? 320 Sycamore? Ernie's on his way?
Here we are, 320 Sycamore.
The old Granville house?
Welcome to the Waldorf Hotel, Monsieur. If you'll please follow me. Enjoy your stay, sir.
Mary? Mary?
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
Home? What do you mean?
Remember the night we broke the windows in this old house? This is what I wished for.
But how did you...
I didn't work all those summers in New York for nothing. And I happen to know someone who was able to help us secure a very agreeable loan.
Uncle Billy? You mean he... Well, I'll be. I love you, Mary Hatch.
Mary Hatch Bailey, if you don't mind. George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
So George saved the building and loan again. They never got to take that honeymoon. And George labored away day after day to keep the business from falling apart at the seams. But even amidst the toil, Mary and George found ways to bring joy into their lives and the lives of their friends.
Mr. and Mrs. Giuseppe Martini, welcome home.
Oh, imagine that. I own this house. Me, Giuseppe Martini. No more we live like pigs in Potter's Field.
Your first housewarming gifts. Bread, that this house may never know hunger. Salt, that life may always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever. Enter the Martini Castle.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Bailey. Maria, hurry, bring in the baby, bring in the kids.
But there was one man in town who did not feel warmly towards George Bailey.
I can guess who you mean.
Yep, that's right, Clarence. Henry F. Potter.
Mr. Potter, it's no skin off my nose. I just collect the rent and do what I'm told. But you can't disregard the standard of living in Potter's Field any longer. People are moving into Bailey Park as fast as the houses can be built. Have you seen them? Dozens of the prettiest little homes you ever saw. Almost entirely owned by people who used to pay rent to you. Now, if I were you...
Well, thankfully you are not me. Good day.
As I said, I just do what I'm told. Good day, Mr. Potter.
That George Bailey has been a boil on my neck long enough. Get me the building and loan.
Hello, Mr. Potter.
Oh, hello, George. Now, please, please, come on in and sit down.
Thank you.
Cigar?
Sure.
You like it.
Yes, that's quite a cigar, Mr. Potter.
Oh, I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but what exactly did you want to see me about?
Oh, you're a straight shooter, George. Now, that's just what I like about you. Now, George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes us all even. Now, you know I practically run everything in this town but the Bailey Building and Loan. You also know that for a number of years I've been trying to take control of it, well, kill it. But I haven't been able to do it. You have beaten me, George, now, and that takes some doing. Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only two to keep our heads. You saved the building alone, well, I saved all the rest.
Well, some people might say you stole the rest.
Oh, the envious ones say that, George, the suckers. Now, I stated my side very frankly. Now let's look at your side. A young man, 27 to 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
45.
45.
45.
Out of which, after supporting your mother and paying your bills, you're able to keep about $10 a week if you skimp. Now, a child or two comes along, and you won't be able to save a nickel. Now, if this man of 28 were an ordinary man, I'd say he's doing just fine. But George Bailey is no ordinary yokel. He is an intelligent, ambitious, visionary man who loathes his job and hates the building and loan almost as much as I do. A young man who's been dying to get out of this town since the day he was born, the smartest in the crowd. A young man who was forced to sit by and watch his friends go places while he's trapped. Yes, sir, trapped into frittering his life away playing nursemaid to a town of garlic eaters. Now, do I paint a correct picture or do I exaggerate?
What's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point? Well, my point is I want to hire you.
Hire me?
Yeah, I want you to manage my affairs and run my properties. Now, I'll lay it right for you, George. I'll start your salary at $20,000 a year.
$20,000?
Oh, you wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, monthly trips to New York, to Europe. Now, you wouldn't mind that now, would you, George?
Would I? I mean, you're not talking to somebody else, are you? You remember me. I'm George Bailey.
Oh, yes. I remember you, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, if he has the brains to climb aboard.
Well, what about the building and loan?
Oh, confound it, man. Are you afraid of success? I'm offering you a 3-year contract starting today. Is it a deal or isn't it?
Well, Mr. Potter, I know I ought to jump at the chance, but... Well, I wonder if I might have 24 hours to think it over.
Oh, sure. Now, you go on home and talk about it with your wife.
Thank you, Mr. Potter.
In the meantime, I'll draw up the papers.
Yes, sir. No. No. Now, wait a minute here. No, I don't need 24 hours, and I don't have to talk to anybody. Now, I know right now, and the answer is no. No! Doggone it! Now, you sit around here, and you spin your little webs, and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money? Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. And in the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider.
Welcome home, Mr. Bailey.
Oh, sorry I'm late. Oh, Mary Hatch, why in the world would you ever marry a guy like me?
To keep from being an old maid.
You could have married Sam Wainwright or anybody else in town, for that matter.
I didn't want to marry anybody else in town. I want my baby to look like you.
I promise you I'd... You're what? Mary? You mean you're on the nest?
George Bailey lassos store.
You're tuned in to the Jingle Bell Radio Hour, brought to you by WTLC and Soulseek.
Handstands, Lotus, what are those? You can always do child's pose. You can see your practice grow at Soulseek Yoga Studio.
Welcome back to WTLC's Jingle Bell Radio Hour and the enchanting conclusion of It's a Wonderful Life, brought to you by Soulseek.
Downtown, see a gorgeous view. In Porto, there's cold towels too. You can be a VIP. Soulseek is the place to be. Now in Santa Barbara.
So as you probably guess, George never leaves Bedford Falls.
Oh no!
Yeah. Mary had their first baby, a boy.
First?
Yep, and then a girl. Day after day, Mary worked away remaking the old Granville house into a home. Night after night, George came back late from the office. Potter wasn't keen on being refused and was bearing down hard. But then came the war, and no lives were left untouched. Potter became head of the city draft board. Sam Wainwright made a fortune in plastic hoods for planes. Gower and Uncle Billy sold war bonds. Ma Bailey and Mrs. Hatch joined the Red Cross. Mary had two more children, but still had time to run the USO. Many of the men George had always known went into the battle. Bert the cop was wounded in North Africa, awarded the Silver Star. Ernie the taxi driver parachuted into France. But Harry Bailey, topped them all. A Navy flyer. He shot down 15 enemy planes. Two of them as they were about to crash into a transport ship full of soldiers.
Wow, what a hero. But what about George?
4F, on account of the deaf ear he got from saving Harry's life. George fought the Battle of Bedford Falls. Air raid warden, paper drives, scrap drives, rubber drives. Like all Americans on VE Day, he wept and prayed. And on VJ Day, he wept and prayed again. But Clarence, we have now reached the very day. You will soon see how George ends up standing on that bridge overlooking the freezing canal. It begins the day before Christmas, 1945, about 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Uncle Billy taking a trip to the bank.
7, 9, and 8,000. Oh, Mr. Potter, imagine running into a Scrooge like you at the bank on Christmas Eve.
Bah, humbug to you.
Oh, I see you have the paper. What's in the news? Well, well, well. Harry Bailey wins the Congressional Medal of Honor. I couldn't be one of them Bailey boys. You can't keep them down, can you? Well, I'm sure you want to read the entire article, maybe more than once. Here's your paper, Mr. Potter, and a very Merry Christmas. Good morning, Horace. I'd like to make a deposit.
Then I guess you forgot something.
Huh?
Well, it's customary to deposit money.
Oh, of course, that's right. Well, I have it in my...
What about your jacket pocket?
Oh, no.
But where did the money go?
You didn't watch Billy closely. If you're going to earn your wings, you're going to have to pay closer attention. So Billy had wrapped the envelope with the money in with the newspaper he handed to Mr. Potter. And of course, Mr. Potter had no intention of returning that money. In fact, he called the bank with a tip that there would be a deficit at the building and loan and insisted they visit Bailey's this very day before the holiday began. Meanwhile, George made his way to the office.
Hey, Ernie, did you see this? Right on the front page.
Yeah, gonna snow again.
Oh, why, I oughta look at this. Commander Harry Bailey's heroic homecoming in black and white. Now here's a paper for you and a bundle for all your customers. And don't forget to pick Harry up. They're flying him back from Washington tonight.
And let down my country? Not in France, not in Bedford Falls. And I'm certainly not gonna let Ma Bailey down.
Attaboy, see you at the party.
You bet.
Oh, Mrs. Carter, good morning and Merry Christmas. Did you see the paper?
Merry Christmas, George. I certainly did. Congratulations.
Congressional Medal of Honor. Can you believe that? President Truman himself pinned it on him. Now, I'm sorry we're all excited. What brings you here?
Well, the bank asked me to do a check of your end of the year finances.
Today?
I'm sorry, George. I just go where I'm told. Believe me, I'm supposed to drive down to Ithaca to be with my family for Christmas Eve. Oh, so just show me this month's receipts and I'll be out of here as fast as...
Hi, George.
Oh, well, hello, Violet.
George, can I talk to you?
Well, sure. Mrs. Carter, would you mind excusing us for a minute?
Not at all, George. Hello, Violet.
Hello.
Violet, come on over here. Now, what's the matter?
I came to say goodbye.
Goodbye? Well, where are you going?
I'm off to Manhattan. I've got to get out of here. I need to start over.
Oh, believe me, Vi, I know the feeling.
Oh, I know you do, Georgie. But you've done something special here in Bedford Falls. I'm ready for a fresh start.
Well then, okay, here you go.
George, money? No, that's not...
It takes a lot of character to set out like you're doing.
But George...
You're broke, aren't you?
I know, but...
What are you gonna do, hawk your furs in your hat, walk to New York? They charge you for a roof and meals just like they do in Bedford Falls.
I promise I'll pay you back as soon as I get on my feet.
Oh, that sounds fine, Vi. Loans are my business. Now you'll get a job. Good luck to you and say hello to New York for me.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey. Merry Christmas.
Now, Mrs. Carter, I apologize for the... Psst, Uncle Billy?
Come here.
I'm sorry, one second, Mrs. Carter. Uncle Billy, what's going on? Get Mrs. Carter the accounts payable receipts.
Wait, what?
Now look, did you buy anything?
Not even a stick of gum.
All right, let's not panic. Now we'll go over every step you took since you left here with the money.
See, George and Billy scour the town looking for that dropped envelope. They don't know that Henry Potter has already deposited the money in his own account.
Wait, tell me again, you're sure you put the envelope in your pocket?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe? I don't want any more maybes. Uncle Billy, we've got to find that money.
Oh, I'm no good to you, George.
Okay, listen to me. Do you have any other secret hiding places? Someplace you could have hidden it?
I've gone over every inch of my office, of my house. Oh, George.
Stop crying. Think. Think.
I can't think anymore, George.
Oh, where's that money, you stupid, silly old fool? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal in prison. That's what it means. Now one of us is going to jail, and it's not going to be me.
Darling, you're home.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy!
Did you bring the wreath?
Oh, what wreath?
The Merry Christmas wreath for the front window.
Oh, no, I left it at the office.
Is it snowing?
Yeah, just started.
Where's your coat and hat?
Yeah, I must have left them at the office, too.
What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter. Everything's fine.
Mommy says we can stay up till midnight and sing Christmas carols.
Can you sing, Daddy?
Better hurry up and shave. The families will be here soon.
Families? I don't want any families over here.
What's the matter? Was it a hectic day?
Oh, yeah. Another red letter day for the Baileys.
Excuse me!
Hey, Daddy. The Browns next door just got a new car. You should see it.
What's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
Yes, Daddy.
Must she keep playing that?
I have to practice for the party tonight.
Excuse me!
Excuse you for what?
I burped!
All right, darling, you're excused. Now run upstairs and see if Zuzu needs anything.
Zuzu, what's the matter with Zuzu?
She caught a little cold, caught it coming home from school. They gave her a flower for a prize, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat.
What is it, a sore throat or what?
Just a cold. The doctor says it's nothing serious.
The doctor? The doctor was here?
Yes, I wanted to make sure before all the excitement. He says it's nothing to worry about. She should be fine for tonight if she takes it easy.
What, is she running a temperature?
Just a teensy one, 99.6.
Oh, it's this drafty old house. You might as well be living in a barn. Why do we have to live here in the first place in this measly, crummy little town?
George, what's
wrong? Everything's wrong. You call this a happy family? Why do we have to have all these kids?
Where are you going?
Upstairs to see Zuzu.
Hi, Daddy. Look, I want a flower.
Now, wait a second. Where are you going?
I want to give my flower a drink.
All right, here. Give Daddy the flower and I'll give it a drink.
Oh, no, Daddy. The petals broke off. Paste it.
Yeah, all right. I'll just put these here and... Oh, look out there. Was that Santa Claus?
Where?
Oh, no, just a cloud. There you go. Good as new.
Thanks, Daddy.
Now, will you do something for me?
What?
Will you try to get some sleep?
I'm not sleepy. I'm excited for the party and I want to look at my flower.
I know, but if you go to sleep, then you can dream about it and it will be a whole garden and then it will be time for the party.
It will?
It sure will.
Can I bring my flower to the party?
Of course you can.
Okay, Daddy. Don't forget to wake me up.
I won't.
Telephone!
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welsh. I'm sure she'll be fine. The doctor says she should be fine in time for Christmas Eve dinner.
Is that Zuzu's teacher?
Yes.
Give me that. Hello, Mrs. Welsh? Yeah, this is George Bailey. I'm Zuzu's father. Say, what kind of teacher are you anyway, sending her home half-naked like that? Do you realize she'll probably catch pneumonia because of you?
George!
What, is this the sort of thing we pay taxes for so some silly, stupid, careless people can send our children home without any clothes on? Oh, I know. Maybe they aren't the best-dressed kids. They don't have any decent clothes, but... Hello? Oh, Mr. Welch! Oh, you will, huh? Yeah, great. Gives me a chance to tell you what I really think of your wife.
George, stop it!
Oh, anytime you think you're man enough. Hello? No, he hung up.
Daddy, how do you spell frankincense?
Oh, how should I know? What am I, a dictionary? Janie, haven't you learned that silly tune yet? You played it over and over, now stop it! I'm sorry, everyone. Mary... Janie, I'm sorry, Janie. Please go ahead and practice. And Pete, now I owe you an apology, too. I'm sorry. What is it you wanted to know?
Nothing, Daddy.
Oh, now what's the matter with everyone? It's Christmas! Janie, go on. I told you to practice. Now go on and play.
Oh, Daddy.
George, I know something is wrong, but don't you dare take it out on the children.
Mary.
But George, wait. Bedford 247, please.
Is Daddy in trouble?
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie, pray very hard.
Me too?
You too, Tommy. Hello, Uncle Billy.
George has no way to raise the $8,000 on his own with no time to spare. He has no choice but to turn to the one man who has the money to save him. The same man who took the very $8,000 he was looking for.
Oh, no.
I'm in trouble, Mr. Potter. I need your help. Now, through some accident, the building and loan is short in their accounts. Now, the bank examiner came today, and we need to raise $8,000 right away.
So that's what the reporters wanted to talk to you about.
Reporters?
Oh, yes. They called me up from the building and loan. Oh, and somebody from the DA's office as well. Oh, that poor Mrs. Carter you ran out.
Oh, please help me, Mr. Potter. I'll pay you any sort of bonus or interest. Now, if you want the building and loan, you can just...
Is there a chance, George, that there's a slight discrepancy in your book?
No chance of that. I just misplaced $8,000.
Oh, you misplaced it. Now tell me, George, now what have you been doing? Playing the market with the company's money? Or is it a woman? Now you know it's all over town that you've been giving money to that Violet Bick. Now, not that I care, but why did you come to me? Why don't you go to that obnoxious friend of yours, Sam Wainwright?
He's in Europe. I can't get a hold of him.
I see. I've suddenly become quite important to you, haven't I, George? Well, what type of security do I have? You certainly can misplace quite a bit of money. I mean, do you have any stocks?
No, sir.
Bonds, real estate, collateral of any kind?
I have my house and a life insurance policy worth $15,000.
How much is your equity in it?
$500.
$500. You asked me to lend you $8,000. Look at you. You used to be so cocky. You were going to go out and conquer the world. You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. But what are you but a warped, frustrated young man? A miserable little clerk crawling in here on your knees, begging for my help with nothing but a falling down house and a cheap insurance policy to offer. You know, George, you're worth more dead than alive. Now, why don't you go and ask that riffraff you love so much for the money? Well, you know, because you'd run out of town. And I'm going to do you a favor, George. I'm going to save you from that mob. As a stockholder of the building alone, I'm calling the sheriff to swear out a warrant for your arrest. Misappropriation of funds. Malfeasance. That's right, George. Go ahead and run. You can't hide in a little town like Bedford Falls.
Mr. Bailey!
Hello, Martini.
It's always an honor to have you with us on Christmas. Merry Christmas! What can I get you?
I just need to sit for a moment.
You can sit all night. Nick, get this man a chair.
Here you go, George.
Thanks, Martini. Nick. Oh, God. God, dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God.
You okay, George? You don't look so good. You want someone to take you home?
Mr. Bailey, are you all right?
George Bailey? Here? Where?
Why, this is George Bailey right here.
And the next time you talk to my wife that way, you'll...
You get out of here!
Now wait, I want to pay for my drink.
You get out of here quick! You hit on my best friend!
You all right, George?
Who was that?
He's a goner, don't worry. He's the name of Welch. You hear that, Nick? He don't come around here no more.
You bet.
No, Welch, that's what I get for praying.
George, where are you going? Please, you don't go that way, Mr. Bailey. George, no!
The time has come, Clarence. Do you see him? George walking out onto the bridge. Save him, Clarence.
Goodbye, Mary. I'm sorry, I...
Help! Help!
Hold on, I'm coming! I gotcha.
Hey, are you two okay? That water's freezing. Come on, let's get you somewhere warm. I'm the night watchman right over at the mill, and I saw you guys on the bridge. I came to warn you, it's really icy. I guess you found out. I think I've got some warm blankets in my office. How'd you happen to fall in?
Oh, I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save George.
You what? To save me?
Well, it worked, didn't it? He didn't go through with it.
With what?
Suicide.
Hey, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
It's against the law where I come from, too.
Oh, really? You're new in town? Me too. I just moved from Palatine Bridge. How about you, friend? Where are you from?
Heaven.
Heaven? Let me find those blankets.
I had to act quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I was drowning, you'd try to save me. And you see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Yeah, very funny.
Oh, your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah, it is. Here are the blankets. Hey, you need a doctor or something?
No, I'm fine. I just got a busted jaw as an answer to a prayer.
Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer.
How do you know my name?
Oh, I know everything about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
Well, what are you, a mind reader or something?
Oh, no.
Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Yeah, Oddbody, that seems about right. AS2, what's AS2?
Angel, second class.
Second class?
I didn't have time to get any stylish clothes. I wore this on my last birthday. I passed away in it.
Passed away?
Oh no, I got Tom Sawyer all wet. I shouldn't have brought it with me, but I always leave things in my pockets. And it's signed too. Oh, well, I'll just have to ask him to sign another one. I'll leave it by the radiator to dry out. Do you like Mark Twain? You should read his latest.
His latest? Yeah, you're the one who needs the doctor, buddy, a shrink. And Mr. Potter, he isn't paying me well enough for this.
Oh, brother. What did Martini put in my drink? Now, what's with you? What did you say just a minute ago that you want to save me?
Yes, that's why I'm here.
Oh, what? Who are you?
I'm your guardian angel. Ridiculous to think of killing yourself for money. Psst, $8,000.
Yeah, stuff like that. How'd you know that?
I told you. I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Yeah, well, you look like the kind of angel I'd get. A fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I'm only second class. I have to earn them.
Well, you don't look dangerous anyway. A wingless angel, eh? How do you earn them?
By helping you.
Only one way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you.
Oh, no. We don't use money in heaven.
Oh, that's right. Well, comes in pretty handy around here, bub. I found that out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look, George, you mustn't talk like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you have done. Well, if it hadn't been for you...
Oh, yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be a lot happier. My wife, my kids, my friends. Look, little fellow, why don't you just go off and hunt somebody else?
You don't understand. I have my job.
Oh, just shut up, will ya?
This isn't going to be so easy. You think killing yourself would make everyone happier?
I don't know. No, I guess you're right. I suppose it would be better if I'd never been born.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, George, what a wonderful idea. Joseph?
But now you're talking to yourself? Who's Joseph?
Oh, that's just great. Thank you, sir. George, you got your wish. You've never been born. Well, you don't have to make such a fuss about it. Well, George, that's it. You don't exist. You haven't a care in the world.
Hey, wait a second. Say something else in that ear.
Sure, you can hear out of it. No $8,000 to worry about, no sheriff.
Well, how do you know about that? Well, I haven't been able to hear out of that ear since I was a kid. Yeah, it must have been that cold water.
Your lips stopped bleeding too, George.
That's the doggonedest thing. I wonder what happened. Well, it stopped snowing. Come on, as soon as our clothes are dry.
Your clothes are dry.
Yeah, radiator must be hotter than I thought. Now, come on. Get your clothes on and we'll stroll back up to Martini's and... Oh, I'm sorry. I'll stroll. You fly.
I can't fly. I haven't got my wings.
Hello, Nick. Hey, where's Martini?
You want a martini?
No, Martini, your boss.
Look, I'm the boss. You want a drink or don't you?
Okay, double bourbon, quick, huh?
All right, what's yours?
Oh, I was just thinking... Oh, it's been so long.
Look, mister, I'm standing here waiting for you to make up your mind.
And you're a good man. I was just thinking a flaming rum punch. No, it's not cold enough for that. Wait a minute. I got it. Mulled wine. Heavy on the cinnamon, light on the clove. Be off with you, and be lively.
All right, look, mister, we serve hard drinks for men who want to get drunk fast. And we don't need any characters around here given the joint atmosphere, all right? Is that clear? Or you need me to slip you a left to convince you?
Nick, just give him the same as me. He's okay.
All right, then.
Yeah, what's the matter with him? I never saw Nick act like that before.
You're going to see a lot of strange things from now on.
Oh, yeah. Hey, little fella, you worry me. You got someplace to sleep?
No.
Well, you don't, huh? Well, Well, do you have any money?
No, I told you. We don't use money in heaven.
Okay, enough of that heaven business. Now, why did you jump in the river?
I jumped in the river to save you, so I could get my wings. Oh, congratulations!
What?
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
All right, that's enough. Out you two pixies go, through the door or out the window.
Look who's here.
Could you spare me?
Hey, didn't I tell you to never come panhandling around here again?
Mr. Gower, it's George Bailey. Don't you recognize me?
No.
Get him out of here.
Wait.
Now, Nick, leave Mr. Gower alone. He's had a really hard life.
That's the reason for me not to like you. That rummy spent 20 years in prison for poisoning a kid. If you don't know him, you must be a jailbird bird too. Polly, get these men out of here.
You got it. This way, gentlemen.
Some wings for the way out.
You see, George? You were not there to stop Gower from putting that poison.
Look, who are you?
I told you, George, I'm your guardian angel.
Yeah, I know you told me that. What else are you? Are you a hypnotist?
Don't you understand, George? It's because you were never born.
Well, if I wasn't born, then who am I?
You're nobody. You have no identity.
Oh, what do you mean? I'm George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. You have no papers, no cards, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
I know. What about...
They're not there either, George.
What?
Zuzu's petals?
How did you know that?
You've been given a great gift, George, to see what the world would be like without you.
Now, wait a minute. Just a minute. This is just a funny dream I'm having. I'm going home to wake up.
What home?
Now, you just shut up. You're crazy. That's it. You're screwy, and you're driving me crazy, too. Now, I'm going to go home to see my wife and my kids. Do you understand that? And I'm going home alone.
How am I doing, Joseph? Thanks. No, I didn't have a drink.
Hey, where did the building and loan go?
The building what?
The building and loan, right up there on the second floor.
Oh, they went out of business years ago.
Stop, police.
Get your meat hooks off me.
All right, hands behind your back.
Hey, I know her.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah, that's Violet Bick.
I know Potter, and I'll have your job.
That's what they all say.
Oh, I gotta get home. Taxi, Ernie, over here. Oh, listen, Ernie, take me home. I'm off my nut.
All right, where do you live?
Oh, now, Ernie, don't you start pulling that, too. You know where I live, 320 Sycamore.
All right, wait. 320 Sycamore.
Yeah, and hurry, Zuzu's sick.
All right.
Now listen, Ernie, straighten me out. I've had some bad liquor or something, but listen to me now. You're Ernie Bishop, and you live in Bailey Park with your wife and kid. That's right, isn't it?
You see my wife?
Seen your wife? I've been to your house 100 times.
Look, but what's the big idea? I live in a shack in Potter's Field. My wife left me 3 years ago. She took the kid. I don't know where they are, and I ain't ever seen you before in my life.
Pottersville? But don't you mean Bedford Falls?
This town hasn't been called that in 20 years. What's wrong with you, mister?
Oh, I'm not sure. Just step on it and get me home.
This is the place?
Yeah, of course this is the place. Oh, the door's locked. Where am I? Oh, I don't have my keys. I know, I'll crawl in the... But all the windows are broken. But where's all the furniture? Mary! Mary, Tommy, Pete, Janie, Zuzu, where are you?
They're not there, George. You have no children. No one's lived here since the Granvilles, and it's in quite a disarray, isn't it?
Mary, where are you? You, what have you done with them? Mary! Mary!
All right, what's going on, Ernie? I followed you when that coot ran off and jumped in your car. You all right? You can hear that guy screaming and banging clear down the street.
I'm not sure. I think he's lost his marbles, but then this other guy just showed up out of nowhere.
All right, I better stop this. All right, put your hands up, both of you. No fast moves.
Oh, Bert, thank heaven you're here.
Now stand back.
Bert, what happened to my house? Where's Mary? Where are my kids?
Watch him, Bert.
Oh, what's the matter with the two of you? You don't know me? Ernie, you drove me home on my wedding night, and Bert, you gave us champagne.
Look, now why don't you be a good kid, and we'll take you to the doctor. Everything's gonna be all right.
Oh, no, Bert, now listen to me. Ernie, just take me to my mother's house. Bert, listen.
Hate to have to do this to you, fella.
You can't.
Ah, my foot.
Sorry, friend. Run, George!
Okay, you asked for it. Hey, where'd he go?
I'm going to Nick's.
Look at that sign, Ma Bailey's boarding house. No, that's the wrong sign. I had a new one made for her 50th birthday.
Well?
Oh, Mother.
Well, what do you want?
Oh, Mother, it's George. I thought for sure you'd remember me.
George who? If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Oh, Mother, please help me. Something terrible's happened to me, and I don't know what it is. Something's happened to everybody. Please let me come in until I can get over it.
Get over what? I don't take in strangers unless they're sent here by somebody I know.
Oh, well, I know everybody you know. Your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know Billy?
Of course I do.
When did you see him last?
This afternoon at his house.
That's a lie. He's been in the asylum ever since my husband died and he lost the business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many others, and when he's not around, it leaves an awful hole, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've heard of things like this. Yeah, you've got me under some sort of trance or spell or something. Well, I'm gonna get out of it, and I know how, too. I have to retrace my steps. Now, the last man I talked to before all this started happening was Martini. But he wasn't at his bar.
Well, do you know where he lives?
Well, sure, I know where he lives. He lives in Bailey Park, just nearby.
Are you sure this is Bailey Park? It looks more like a rundown cemetery to me.
Oh, I'm not sure of anything anymore. I know this should be Bailey Park, but where are all the houses?
George, don't you understand? You weren't there to build them. Look at this grave over here.
What? Harry Bailey? No, but that's impossible.
Your brother broke through the ice and died at the age of 9.
No, that's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it all away?
Clarence.
Yes, George?
Where's Mary?
You're not gonna like it, George.
Please just tell me.
She's a different woman, George. Lonely and angry.
Just tell me where my wife is.
She's secretary for the mayor, Mr. Henry F. Potter. She's about to leave the office.
Oh, no. Mary! Mary!
I was gratified to be able to answer promptly, and I did. I said, I didn't know. We're rooting for you, George.
Mary!
The office is closed.
Oh no, Mary, wait!
No exceptions, and if you don't move along, I'll have you arrested for loitering.
Mary, please!
Absolutely not. Come back on the 26th, though I doubt Mayor Potter will even see you without an appointment.
Don't you know me?
What? No, I don't. And from the look of you, I wouldn't want to. I'd bet my December wages you're nothing but a drunk and a degenerate. I'll thank you to leave me alone.
No, look closely. You sure you've never seen me before? Please just do this for me.
No, I want nothing to do with a louse like you. If you do not walk away this minute, I will scream for the police.
Oh, just a minute, Mary, please.
Help, please.
What about our family and our kids?
Kids, a family with you? Just stay away from me. Help, help!
You again? Stop, stop right where you are.
Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Only get me back to my wife and my kids. Get me home to Bedford Falls. Clarence, please. Please, God. Oh, I want to live again. I want to live again.
George. You all right?
Now you stay away, Bert! I've got nothing to lose anymore, you stay back!
What are you yelling for? What are you doing out here?
Wait, Bert, you know me?
Know you? I've been looking everywhere for you. George, your lip's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
Oh, my mouth's bleeding. My mouth's bleeding! Oh, Zuzu's petals, here they are, Zuzu's petals! Merry Christmas!
Let me take you home, George.
Yes, take me home to my wife and my kids and step on it! Blare the sirens!
Okay, George, I don't know what's gotten into you, but Here goes.
Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls! Oh, Merry Christmas, Mr. Gower's Drugstore! Merry Christmas, Martinis! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan! Oh, well, hello, everyone. Where's Mary? Oh, Mrs. Carter, hello. Merry Christmas.
George, I've discovered the deficit.
Oh, I know. $8,000, right?
Now, I brought along the county sheriff, and he's got a paper here.
I bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? And all these reporters. Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas. Mary! Mary!
Daddy!
Oh, kids. Petey, Janie, Tommy.
Daddy!
Oh, Zuzu, my little ginger snap, how do you feel?
Just fine. Not a smidge of temperature.
Not a smidge. Where's your mother?
She went out looking for you with Uncle Billy and Grandma.
George?
Oh, Mary, darling.
Oh, George, we've been so frightened.
Where have you been?
Oh, let me touch you. Are you real? You have no idea what's happened to me.
And you have no idea what's happened here. It's a miracle, just a miracle. Now come in, everyone.
Well, Mary did it, George. She told a few people you were in trouble and they scattered all over town collecting money. They didn't ask any questions. They just said, if George's in trouble, you can count on me. I've never seen anything like it. Now step up.
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you, George.
The line forms on the right.
I have broken the jukebox, too.
I'm not going to go, George. I changed my mind.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it weren't for you, George.
All right, wait a minute. Quiet, everyone. It's a telegram from Sam Wainwright in London. Oh. Mr. Gower cables you need cash. Stop. My office has been instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Hee-haw. Merry Christmas. Sam Wainwright.
Mr. Martini, how about some wine?
George!
Oh, Harry, you're here!
Harry, what about your banquet in New York?
I got up and left as soon as I got the telegram. I couldn't let down George. Everyone, your attention please. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old
book, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. The inscription is for you. To George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thank you. P.S. I got them. Who's this from?
It's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, Mrs. Welch says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
That concludes this installment of WTLC's Jingle Bell Radio Hour and tonight's performance of It's a Wonderful Life, brought to you by Soulseed. We wish the happiest of holidays to you and yours. Thank you and good night.